Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we thank you for your word. Your word that imparts your wisdom to us. And we pray that we may have hearts and minds of faith that not only hear it, but understand it and know it to be the truth. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. I have been amazed over the last decade and a half of election cycles, where politicians have said things, and then later when they were confronted with what they said, they denied it. I didn't say that. Now, there are, I think, two problems with this, and one is more serious than the other. First of all, in this day and age of information, the information age it's being called, are they so dense as to think that they can get away with denial? They have to know that everything they say, whether it's on the record or not, is on a video recording somewhere, and generally more than one. Nothing is lost in cyberspace. It's all collected and retrievable somewhere. Which leads me to the second of the two issues that I have with their denial. And this one, in my mind, is the more serious problem. If they don't believe what they said, and it wasn't because they changed their mind since that period of time, then why do they say it? Do they believe that words have or don't have power in this day? Are words used to gain power, to gain acceptance, and therefore are a means to an end? Or do words have power for the truth they offer? A person, I think, in the first instance, does not believe in the power of words. To them, words are something that you use to pull the wool over somebody's eyes. I suppose you could say that for them, words have power in that it helps them to hide the truth or befuddle others, confuse them. However, for many people, words have a lot of power because they can explicitly and clearly express an idea or truth. We used to say that when a person gave their word about something, you could trust it. It meant something. Because of how we treat words today, I don't think we can trust that any longer, unless we have an experience with that particular person, that is the case. I bring this up today because our scripture passages today talk about wisdom. In Proverbs, we hear Lady Wisdom calling for people to come and eat at her table. Now, Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase called The Message, paraphrases this passage as, "Are you confused about life? Don't know what's going on? Come with me. Oh, come and have dinner with me. I've prepared a wonderful spread. Fresh baked bread, roast lamb, carefully selected wines. Leave your impoverished confusion and live. Walk up the street to a life with meaning. Leave your confusion and walk to a life with meaning." Of course, later in the same chapter, we hear Lady Foolishness beguiling people to come and sit at her table. In verse 10, however, though, we get the real crux of this passage where we hear the author saying to us, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. I suppose that one way we can look at that is if you fear something, you're going to make sure you stay on the right side. You know, last week I talked about God and Christ, the bread of life, and the way that we eat that bread is by taking in the words and the actions of Jesus and making them ours. And I'm kind of in the same place this week, but from a different angle. God, through the Scriptures and through the prophets, tells us how we should live our lives. Jesus of Nazareth, the one we call the Christ, does the same thing through His life and teaching. And so, in a sense, we've been given the template. And we can find wisdom by following that template. But also, and I think where it ties in with our own lives today, we can use that template to place up against the lives and words of others as well, and to gauge whether or not they have wisdom, the kind of wisdom that we say as Christians that we trust. Heidi Husted, in a Christian Century article on our Proverbs passage, shares an illustration by the former president of Poland, Lech Walesa. In 1989, the U.S. hosted Lech Walesa, leader of the former Solidarity movement and the newly elected president of Poland. During his visit, Walesa spoke candidly to the U.S. Congress, speculating about how Americans might respond to the astounding events taking place in Eastern Europe. At that point, everything was coming, communism was coming down in Eastern Europe. And he said that we must remember that there is a declining world market for words. There is a declining world market for words. Reverend Husted writes about that. In an information age, there's a declining market for words. Now, while what we say is important, words are not enough. Spoken words, even a mouth confession of faith, mean nothing without the behavior to back it up. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight, of understanding, of wisdom. Our Ephesians passage cautions us, be careful then how you walk. I find it interesting that there are times in the life and the teachings of Jesus when he exhorts the people to be street smart. See, I'm sending you out like a sheep into the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Be shrewd. Be wise in the ways of the world and look and see if people's words match their actions. Words offer truth only when they are backed up by the life of the person saying them. But that's not easy in this day and age. Because you see, we are getting fewer and fewer words in a sentence. In our soundbite information age. And when you come to the social networks like Twitter and so forth, you're not even getting whole words. You take H and then the number 8 for hate. It's a way of shaving on your character so you can get more words in. In this day and age, we have to be on our toes. We have to be on the lookout to notice if we are hearing what we are hearing matches what we are seeing. The writer of Ephesians writes, so do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Keep that template in front of you. Wisdom is not just about being wise. But wisdom means knowing the will of God and following it to the best of our ability. There are a lot of people who talk about being Christian, but their lives don't seem to come close to matching how Christ lived. Where Christ spoke of love, they speak of anger and hate. A number of years ago, I found a wonderful little book. that I have shared stories out of with you from time to time. It's entitled The Tales of the Magic Monastery by Theophany the Monk. And in it, he has a story entitled The Visit or A Visit from the Buddha. Why did I visit the magic monastery? Well, I'm a monk myself, and the strangest thing happened in my monastery. We had a visit from the Buddha. We prepared for it and gave him a very warm, though solemn, welcome. He stayed overnight, but he slipped away very early in the morning. And when the monks woke up, they found graffiti all over the cloister walls. Imagine! And do you know what he wrote? One word. Trivia! 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 All over the place. Well, we were in a rage. But then when I quieted down, I looked about and realized, yeah, it's true. So much of what I saw was trivia, and most of what I heard. But what is worse, when I closed my eyes, all inside was trivia. And for several weeks, this was my experience, and my very efforts to rectify it only made it worse. I left my monastery and headed for the magic monastery. The brothers showed me around. First, the hall of laughter. Everything fed the flame of laughter. Big things and small, sacred, solemn, inconsequential, only laughter there. Next, the room of sorrow. The very essence of bitter tears, those of the bereaved mother, the lonely depressed, only sorrow here. Now, the hall of words. Words upon words, spoken and written. Alone they must have had some sense, but altogether total confusion. And I cried out, stop, stop. But I was only adding words to words. Next, the great hall of silence. Here, there is no time. He took me finally to the hall of treasures. Take anything you want, he whispered. I chose the heart of Jesus, and with it, I am heading back to my monastery. Wisdom is to be found in the heart of Jesus. Not in the laws, not in the words. Wisdom is to be found in how Jesus loved his brothers and his sisters. And if we recognize that, then like Solomon, we will have true wisdom. We will be able to sort through the confusion of the world and find a little piece of the kingdom of God here on earth. Amen.